one of the greatest, most important things that we do with our life is to prove that what we're doing is right. We always want to prove that what we are doing is right. Now, as an absolute philosopher, we are not interested in proving anything. We just live our life. We just live in harmony and peace and love and joy, right action, truth, goodness, whatever it is. But these things are very relative things. And that's true. Think about a philosopher or scientist or anyone who is really deep into their particular realm of study. And what do they do? Now you say Einstein was interested in coming up with theories that could be acceptable to others. Well, if that was his modus operandi, he failed miserably. Because he came up with theories that confused others. He came up with theories that sparkled in his mind, that he didn't understand fully, but he wrote them down and revealed them. And as he wrote down these theories and revealed these theories, he said, that's interesting. That's interesting. And then he let the theory reveal itself to him. Now, what's the first thing that the theory did in Einstein's mind? The theory says, yep, this is a good idea. Yep, this is a good idea. Yep, this is something that's worthwhile pursuing. Yep, this is beautiful, this is wonderful, this is good. Einstein was not interested in proving it to anyone. Oh, perhaps later he might have gotten involved in a little bit, but when the idea first came up, he just ran with it and loved it and thought, hey, that is a beautiful field theory. That is a beautiful concept. And look at all of our other beautiful scientists, the creative, innovative, imaginative thinkers who have come up with scientific information that has been very strong and very powerful and that has stood the test of time, not that it needed to, because the wonderful thing about the test of time, the wonderful thing about these theories is that today they create in us a great joy, a great enthusiasm. And they may only be the foundation of an even greater idea. We're not interested in 2 times 2 equals 4 or +4 or whatever. We're not interested in those things at all. We're interested in learning the principle. And as we learn the principle, without fighting it, and that's the big feature, learn the principle without fighting it, and then the principle is our foundation for all of our understanding. The principle is our foundation for all of our awareness of who we are. We spend the majority of our life trying to protect our butts. We want to have people believe in what we say. We want people to believe that we are rational, that we are reasonable, that we are people who have minds that can be trusted, minds that can be believed in, minds that can be followed. And yet, the great minds of the world are not minds that encourage this sort of thing. They're minds that encourage people to say, wow, that's a new point of view. That's a new direction. That's a new way of looking at things. How absolutely fantastic. How glorious. How wonderful. And then, if that person has not really tuned in, they'll drift away into their own area of expertise, their own area of interest. And most people do. Most people do. The area of interest that we seem to gravitate to, the area of interest that we seem to have most interest in, is the area of interest that we have allowed ourselves to think is important. Now, we all know that thoughts are things. We all know these are wonderful concepts and these are wonderful attitudes. We all know that many of these wonderful things that come about today are, and tomorrow, are quite different. And we take that with a relative grain of salt without thinking too much about it. However, we have trained our mind and our body to think that our body is our vehicle through which we express on this earth plane. And what an interesting concept. Your body is not the vehicle on which you express on this earth plane. Your mind is the vehicle on which you express on this earth plane. Your body wants you to believe that it is the vehicle on which you express on this earth plane, so that you will pay more and more attention to your body. You'll pay attention to its needs for food, its needs for warmth, its needs for whatever things it may have a need for. And the body is quite effective in getting us to believe that that is where our reality is. The body is quite effective in getting us to pay a lot of attention to it and to give it a lot of credit or to give it a lot of support in whatever it feels it'd like to have. Now, in truth, if we were to say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, if we were to say that and believe it, then our body would be a vehicle through which we could express whatever. Now, if I say to you, I would like to go from here to there, and you say, well, that's quite a distance. And I say, yes, it is. And you say, well, now, would you like to go in my motorhome? You can lie down while we're driving. Would you like to go in a jet? Would you like to go in my private plane? Would you like to go in my car, my Cadillac, or my Jeep, or my RVD, you know, whatever, what would you like to go in? And actually, my thought and my statement to myself and to whoever might be listening, I'd like to just be there. I am not interested in the journey from here to there, because that is merely something that divides me from being there. I choose to be there. Perfect speed is being there. Okay? Now, I choose to be there. Now, how can I be there? Well, you be there in your thought. You be there in your physical body. You be there in your mental body. That's different from your thought now. You be there in your emotional body. You be there in all sorts of possibilities, all the ramifications up and down of what these bodies might relate themselves to be. Now, what is it you really want to do? Do you want to be there, or do you want to do what you want to do when you get there? Do you want to sit at your computer and put down some of your ideas? Do you want to discuss with friends ideas that have come to your mind and you'd like to get their thinking on the subject? Hey, that sounds like a good idea too, doesn't it? What is it that you want to do? So, you see, we are not just that obvious effect of the body and the mind working together. The body trains us to think that we need it. The body trains us to think that it is a very important thing in our life. Now, an intelligent person would say, if the body is a very important thing in our life, what would be the most important thing for us to do? And of course, the most important thing for us to do, thinking the body is that important, is take care of the body. Is to train the body, to get the body into a good, healthy condition, to feed the body the proper things that it needs, to do all the things that are necessary to the body. And People who do that live forever, don't they? Well, they do live forever, but they drop the body behind. They may have the most exquisite physical body, the most beautiful physical body, the most desirable physical body in the entire world. They may be a Schwarzenegger, you know. Not that that's the most desirable or beautiful body, but it's certainly a well-developed body. They may be any of these other people who go in for bodybuilding and proper eating and so forth. But, you see, where do they fall down? They fall down in the fact that their body every moment decays. Their body every moment changes. Their body is not their continuously perfect body throughout the years of their life. As they age, the body ages. And if the body is an immortal thing, then why should it age? Why should the body ever become anything less than what it is in our thought, in our mind? Interesting, isn't it? Now, we've been bantering back and forth on these concepts here. But what is it that we are attempting to say? What we are attempting to say here is that our body is not our reality. It can be. It can be what we believe it to be, and of course it is that. Our mind is not our reality. Yeah, you say, I thought we were talking about a mind being pretty nice. Yeah. But when you say mind, you really mean brain. You don't mean your mind. Because you are the one mind, the universal mind, the mind that knows all, the mind that is all. And when you are this universal mind that knows all and is all and expresses all, it has no limitation to it. It has no limitation to it which says that it can do this or can't do that, or it does know this or doesn't know that. You see, if we're the one mind knows all, and we know all if we are the one mind. And we are the one mind when we claim that we are the one mind, because then we act in accordance with what the one mind is. Now we can say that our body, with its peptides and with its various enzymes, and all these other chemical actions that go on within the body, our body is built for carrying on our world. And is that really true? Is our body important to carrying on our world? I say, well, it certainly seems that way. We treat it with all that respect. We treat it with all that love. We lavish it with clothing. We lavish it with ointments and lotions and massages, and we lavish it with watching television. That's lavishing. We lavish it with music. We lavish it with conversations. We lavish it with relationships. We lavish it with all these things. But that's not lavishing. That's being possessed by those things. Because what created those things? The one mind brought them forth. What created those things in our world? The one mind brought that forth. The one mind has all that in it, but has it in its ideal form, in its perfect form. Now, the more that we concentrate on the body, the more that we concentrate on the mind as a brain, and the more we concentrate on anything in the outer, anything in the physical world, the less attention we're giving to the spiritual world, or the one mind world, the allness world, the oneness world, the less attention we're giving to that. Now, if we are so bright and so aware, why is it that we don't give complete attention to the allness, to the oneness, to the isness, to the nowness at all times? If we were to do that, we would be enjoying that aspect of our being now and always, as long as we maintain our attention on who and what we really are. So it would seem to me that all this folderol, all this discussion, all this game that we're playing, wherein we're saying that the body needs to be taken care of, the mind needs to be taken care of, the experiences need to be taken care of, we need to balance our relationships, we need to be liked by others, we need to be appreciated in this world, all of those things, however much fun they may be, and they certainly are created as fun by our physical body, because our physical body wants us to be bound to those things, really. Once you live in a spiritual realm, once you live in a realm of absolute allness, isness, you have no desire for the physical aspect of life. You have no desire for the humanness of life. You have no desire for eating, for drinking, for sleeping. You have no desire for catering to the body's any whims. But the body is a perfect reflection of what your mind is. And so your mind of thinking of your body, your mind thinks that your body is whole and perfect, that your body expresses exactly what you want it to express, that your body is ideal, that your body is the perfect Lincoln Continental, the perfect Mercedes, the perfect Jaguar, whatever car you want to name, your body is the perfect one. Oh, but I don't want a Jaguar. A beautiful Chevy is just fine with me. Hey, those are names that I'm throwing out because they're emotional names. If I say, you want the perfect car, then all of a sudden your mind goes into flip-flops and says, now, which is the perfect car? Is the perfect car this expensive one or this cheap one? Is the perfect car this car that does this or does that? You see, right away, you get all confused. The perfect car is the car that takes you from here to there. And it is what you want in your life. The perfect house is the house that houses your family, your activities, your world. And you see, we have to stop thinking of it as a Jaguar or a Chevy or a Ford. We have to stop thinking of it as a Buick or anything else like that. Because the moment we do that, we limit ourselves. The moment we do that, we're not thinking in the oneness and the allness. We're thinking as a limited human being. And we want to, at all times, think as the unlimited divine being, the unlimited spiritual master. And the spiritual master is not concerned about gadgets. I oftentimes play with gadgets, and people say, you like gadgets, don't you? These are just thought ideas. Thought ideas that can be wonderful and perfect and lots of fun, but pretty soon they become possessive because somebody goes around changing the programming in them, making them more complex and more wonderful, and making them more expensive and more wonderful, and you feel that you have to have them. Well, the very act of feeling we have to have it, we are possessed by it. And you see, when we are of one mind, when we are living in our universal consciousness, we do not think about any one thing. We do not think about any one area where we want to be fulfilled or we want to have anything. We are every area. We are every area that is fantastic and glorious. Every area that is great and good and beautiful. Every area that expresses the wholeness, the perfection, the divinity, the wonderness of who we are. You see, our life is pretty wonderful, pretty special. And people like Einstein got pretty close to thinking in the realm of absolute, thinking in the realm of the non-relative. And in thinking in that realm, they experience a lot of very fine, happy, joyous, fulfilling things. They start experiencing a lot of rewarding activities in their life. And life is a wonder for them. And so it can be for you and for me. Life can be a wonder for us when we begin to realize what is really important in life. Is it important for us to be humans? That's a game we play. We say to ourselves, we want to be our ideal human self. Or is the game for us to play remembering who we are, that we are divine, that we are the allness, that we are the isness? Oh my, what a game we play, and what fun we have playing it. In playing that game, we go further and further and further away from our reality, further away from our divinity. If I said to you, you have within you all knowledge, would you immediately go to the library and begin to look it up? If I said to you, within you, you have all power, would you immediately think of ways of energizing that power, of bringing that power forth? What does it mean to have all power? To have all power means that when we speak our word, that which already exists reveals itself in our world. It's not that we're creating it, not that we're making it happen, none of those things. It's that we are creating it in our world. Are you creating in your world all the things that bring delight, bring joy and happiness to your heart? Or are you protecting yourself in all your words so that no one will misunderstand what you're saying? Well, no one will take wrong something that you say, and in taking it wrong, misinterpret the goal that you have in mind. When you say, I am God, God I am, are you afraid that people are going to think that you're superior to them? Do you immediately have to say, everyone is God, all is God? You see, the very act of saying those things means that you want to protect yourself. If indeed you're God, then everyone is not God. There is no other being in the universe except yourself. You are the only isness, the only allness, the only godness that exists. But hey, that sounds pretty complimentary to oneself, doesn't it? Yeah. No. It's a recognition. When you recognize that all is God, and you recognize that you are the all, and you recognize that there is none other save you, then who is there to compare yourself to? Who is there to think about yourself to? We have the opportunity today to listen to ourselves, to guide ourselves, to know ourselves, to be ourselves, and to think of nothing else but ourselves. The more we give attention to our mind, the more we give attention to our body, the more we give attention to the human world that we have created, the less we give attention to our reality, to our divinity, to our allness. Where do you want to place your attention? I want to place my attention on the reality that I am, on my divinity, on my allness. And the only way I can do that is when I take every thought and turn it inward. Take every ideal and recognize it from the inner self of me. And as I do that, all things work out in perfect divine order. Because that's the only order there is. And I am that divine order now. I am the allness now. Oh, what a good feeling. Yeah, Mr. Bird, you're right. What a good feeling to release all that which is unnecessary and only claim that which is necessary. How great it is. How great it is. And how great we are. Have a lovely day, a lovely morning, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.